Welcome back to the Managing Mum and to a very special episode today, a bonus episode with a bit of a replay of the Take Back Your Time workshop, which happened on Tuesday. We had a wonderful hour together learning, gaining so much information and valuable insight into why we don't have enough time. And I really just wanted to share this episode with you today in case you missed the workshop on Tuesday, and just to give you an opportunity to find out a little bit more. I also wanted to share with you the exciting news that for the first time ever, we are having a sale on balance and boundaries coaching. There is 50% off a balance and boundaries coaching call between now and the end of Sunday, the 28th of April. Balance and boundaries coaching is just an incredible way for me to sit with you and work out what is going on for you, what is happening for you that stops you from doing the things you know you need to do in order to take back your time. What is in the way of moving from fluster and chaos and frustration into a place of calm and ease, and then to support you in figuring out how you then can move into that place of calm, ease, focus, productivity, presence, finding joy in the moment. So if you are just feeling the pressure at the moment, if you are feeling like you are going to crack at any moment, if you are feeling flustered and overwhelmed and you long to just have a moment for yourself, but you don't know how to get there, take advantage of this sale. Take advantage of the 50% off that I'm offering over the next few days and come and join me for an hour where we can sit together and figure out how you can do it. Are you overwhelmed by the juggle of trying to fit it all in? Do you long to be more present, but you just find yourself reacting to life rather than being in control of it? Are you desperate for some me time in amongst the chaos? I'm Charlotte, a personal trainer, coach, mum, and wife who works because I love my job. I was living the absolutely chaotic life of working full-time, managing the emotional and mental load, trying to meet everyone's needs while completely forgetting about my own. And I finally realized that if I was going to enjoy my work and this journey of motherhood, I needed to set boundaries and make choices that would make me feel more in control, would make me feel healthier and happier so that I could work and mother the way that I wanted to. If you want to create a way of being that allows you to get your work done and be the mum you want to while earning an income and finding joy in your work, I'm so glad you're here. So put away that laptop, tie up your mum bun and lock the bathroom door. We're learning how to juggle. What is the relationship between stress and time? But first of all, I wanted to look at what is stress and just give you some other kind of perspectives on what stress might be. There are two different sources of stress. One of the sources of stress is external stress. This is the things outside of ourselves. This might be the whining child or the boss who's waiting for you at work today, or the financial stress that you've got of bills to pay, or the cars, the traffic on the way to work. These are all things that are outside of ourselves. And then there is another source of stress, and that is internal stress. This stress comes about in response to the stories that we have about things, the beliefs that we have about the external stresses, about ourselves, about our capacity to manage these sources of stress. So we have external stress and we have internal stress. Internal stress is where I am fascinated by myself. I like to think about, opening up my brain when I am self-coaching and looking inside what's going on for me that is causing me this stress that is the result of whatever's going on in my brain. And this is what I spend a lot of time with clients picking through: what's going on in response to the world around us that causes us stress. And then there are two types of stress. There is distress, which is the thing that we all know very well. This we can all relate to this woman with her head in her hands, just feeling at the end of her tether. So distress comes about when we feel like something is outside of our coping capacity. It's either too big for us to manage, or it's gone on for too long, and we're just feeling like we just can't cope. We are overwhelmed. It's uncomfortable. And as I say, we don't feel like it's within our coping capacity. But there is another type of stress, and that is a positive stress, if you've ever thought about stress in a positive way. And this is eustress. This is the kind of stress that comes about when we are doing something that feels like it is within our coping capacity. We feel like we can manage whatever it is that we are facing, whatever challenge it is. And I've put here a picture of a rowing race because rowing is something that I have done for a long time. And rowing is where, at the start of a rowing race, I can picture this kind of stress. I'm in the boat. I'm ready to go. I know that the race is about 2,000 meters long. That's about 8 minutes, give or take. I know that I'm physically fit and healthy enough to cope with this. I have my crew and we're ready to go. This eustress might be the exciting, motivating stress of a promotion. We're ready, we're excited, there's a challenge, but we feel like we can cope. And so this curve just shows us how important eustress is and what happens when we get out of it. This is called the Yerkes-Dodson stress performance curve, where the x-axis is challenge or stress and the level of challenge or stress and the amount of time perhaps that it goes on for, where the y-axis is our performance. So if we don't have any stress, if we have too little stress, there's no motivation, there's no kick to get moving. We then go into that yellow section of being pumped. At the beginning of a rowing race, I'm really pumped, and that's our eustress state. But when we move into a place that is too much out of our coping capacity or goes on for too long, imagine if they suddenly said to me or said to us in a rowing race, "Oh, by the way, we don't know where the finish line is. It could go on for however long." Suddenly, I'm actually in distress. I don't know where the finish line is. I don't know if I'm going to make it to the finish line. I don't know if I'm strong enough or how long I can cope for. And I start to move down the other side of the stress performance curve into feeling exhausted already, even if I'm not actually. Gosh, I'm already tired. How am I going to make it to the end? Shifting out of exhaustion into anxiety, panic. Oh, and perhaps getting to 2,000 meters, and that is the finish line is just on the other side of that, but I've reached burnout, I've reached breakdown because I just don't think that I can cope with that stress level or that challenge, that level of challenge. And so stress can have huge implications on our mental health, our relationships, our performance, and on how much time we have. And you might be saying or asking the question, why? Why does stress impact the amount of time we have? And this is because our brains have been taught to protect us. And thousands of years ago, when we lived in survival mode, where going out and getting food was our survival strategy, if we came across a tiger in our paths, it was really important that we got away from that tiger. And we would have learned this either because we had had experience of it where we had stroked a tiger and it had growled at us and perhaps tried to bite us, or we would have learned this because someone told us that a tiger was a life-threatening danger. And so we see a tiger in our paths, and our brains have been created to, in that state of being under threat, move into a binary thinking way, a binary way of thinking, where either we're fight or flight or we're freeze. We're not thinking, gosh, what a beautiful tiger. I wonder if it's an Indian tiger or an African tiger. We're thinking, I need to get out of here. I need to get away from this. And so we actually lose the capacity for our prefrontal cortex to function. We have a short circuit to our prefrontal cortex, which means that we just have no rational thinking. And we have what we could call a DIY prefrontal lobotomy. Today, our food is available for us. We go to the supermarket, but we don't have to face life-threatening danger in order to feed ourselves. We're no longer surviving. But we are facing these other tigers today. We're facing financial woes. We're facing what other people might think of us. We're facing being in the supermarket and thinking about what to make for supper, as well as thinking about World Book Day, as well as thinking about what we need to do for our manager. We've got so many tigers in our faces all the time, and we are in this fight or flight mode all the time, and we are never actually getting out of it. We're sitting looking at these tigers, and so our thinking is impacted. Our access to our executive functioning is impacted. So, yes, we are unable to access our thinking brain. And so we behave in a way that we forget things, we make mistakes, we drop things, we're not thinking clearly. So, we have this impact of these threats on the way that we function, the way that we perform. But we also have an impact of these threats on our physiological or our physical health, because what is happening in our bodies is that there are a whole lot of hormones racing through. We've got ACTH pumping through to our adrenal glands, which then pump out adrenaline and cortisol. These stress response hormones cause, first of all, dilation of our bronchioli. We need more oxygen to get out to our bodies. And from there, our heart rate increases in this chaotic pattern. Our blood pressure increases because we've got to pump all of that blood out to the extremities. Our digestive system decreases. Our rest and digest has all the blood pulled from it because, again, we need that blood in our extremities. And that's why we feel a little bit unwell or queasy when we are anxious or angry or upset. Our liver converts glycogen to glucose, and we have this sugar pumping through our systems. So our pancreas then starts pumping insulin through our systems, and we are in the state of being potentially pre-diabetic, eventually diabetic. And so we have an impact on the way we think and behave and our performance, and we have an impact on our physical health. And this is absolutely exhausting. We feel completely drained of energy when we are constantly in this fight or flight or freeze state of being. And so, how does this relate to time? To the result that we have in our lives, that there is not enough time. What I'm going to teach you now is not necessarily just related to time. This could be around any result that we have. This could be around the result that we can't lose weight. It could be around the result that we're not performing at work. It could be around the result that we're having trouble with relationships with our family or with our team. I coach people in all different results that they are after. But today, I really want to focus on the result that there is not enough time. So, you can use what I'm teaching you today for any situation in your life and play with it and practice and have fun with it to see how it helps you to make changes to the results that you want. But for now, there is not enough time. Why is there not enough time? Because of our behavior. What are the things that we are doing that mean that we don't have enough time. It might be that we're doing it all ourselves. It might be that we're clumsy. It might be that we're multitasking. It might be that we're forgetting things. It might be that we're spending ages scrolling through social media. These things that are stealing our time, crashing cars, dropping things. And in this state, we don't have enough time and we are exhausted and we find ourselves in this perpetual cycle that we're in that is just going round and round and round. I wanted to look at it a different way because there is more to this cycle and more to the way that we can change the cycle than if we look at it just as a cycle. If we are looking at this as ourselves, as a person, what is happening for ourselves as a person? The result that we get at the top here of this graphic is that there is not enough time. We are behaving in some kind of way that gets us to the point that there is not enough time. We are doing things that mean that our result is that we don't have enough time. And this is all happening outside of ourselves. This behavior is an external behavior. And we spend a lot of time looking at external behavior and how that impacts how we get the result that we want. If I want to lose weight, I need to stop eating, or I need to exercise more. I need to do X, Y, and Z. And yes, so what is the behavior that needs to happen in order to have more time? Perhaps we need to ask for help. Perhaps we need to focus on one thing at a time. Perhaps we need to get up earlier or not shout at the children so that we spend time repairing that relationship. But that is all well and good. There are wonderful ways that we can have more time. But what is it that is stopping us from doing these things, from behaving in a way that would get us the result we want? And so just beneath the surface, and something that we can probably get quite easy access to, and I can ask clients, what are you thinking that means that you are behaving in this way? And they're quite easily able to tell me this. So as working mums, I should be able to do all of this. Or I'm never going to get all of this done, and it causes us to have to multitask. I'm going to do all of this, and I'm going to do it all myself, because if I don't, they'll think I can't cope. They'll think I'm weak. I have to do this because I need the money. We need the money. When a message comes through, or an email comes through on our phones, I have to respond to this right now. And I have to respond to this child who needs me right now. And all of these things that are coming at me so fast. We live in this fast-paced world that we have to respond to right now. But what is the thing that causes us deeper than what we feel? What is the thing that causes us, sorry, than what we think? What causes us to think that way? And this is how we feel. When we are feeling insecure, or a lack of confidence, or anxious, or rushed, or guilty, we end up thinking in a way that perpetuates that way of feeling. Generally, our feeling has a much bigger impact on the way that we think, but our thinking then does perpetuate that feeling, and we end up in this cycle of feeling and thinking that drives our behavior that ends us up with the result. And feeling is often something that we're probably not aware of, but it is there all the time. But what is feeling? Feeling, even deeper than that, there is something that underpins feeling. Our emotion underpins only when we become aware of an emotion that it turns into a feeling. And I love the idea that emotion, become a coach, uses this term energy and motion as emotion, because he talks about how all the energy that is in motion in our bodies is data that creates, or are data streams that create an emotion. For instance, the energy that is in motion of anxiety is sweating palms. It's a churning stomach. It's a kinetic energy of that churning stomach. It's the electrical energy of that chaotic heart rate. It's all the blood running to our hands that causes that sweating palms, chemical energy of the hormones. All of these different data streams are the energy in motion and the emotion that underpins the way that we feel and the way that we think and the way that we behave. And so when we are thinking about what's happening for us in our behavior, we've got to get right down to our emotional state. And this is not just something that is happening when we are aware of it. We are experiencing energy in motion. You're experiencing energy in motion right now, just watching this. Your energy might be that you need to go to the loo after a big cup of coffee. Even that energy, that data that's happening in your body is creating a kind of feeling that is creating a thinking of, oh, I really need to go to the loo. I am really struggling to sit here and be focused. I maybe if I go to the loo now, then I can come back and I won't miss too much. And so you're not focusing on what I'm saying, and the result is perhaps that you miss a whole lot anyway. So right down to our physiology is where we start to get to the result, the end result that we come out with in the end. And so when we are in a physiological state of sweating palms, churning stomach, chaotic heart rate, hormones through our bodies, we end up in a position to then something that is coming from us, something else that is coming from us from outside. Somebody's asking something of us. Somebody sends a message and says, don't forget X, Y, and Z today, or the child can't find their library book, or you can't find your shoes. And the smallest thing sends us into an explosion and then sends us to that point where we don't have enough time. And then we end up at the top of our stress performance curve, rushing down the other side into exhaustion, into anxiety, into anger, into frustration, and into eventually burnout and breakdown, because physically, mentally, emotionally, we just don't have any capacity. And so how do we change this? My job as a coach is to work with my clients to help them to increase their resilience to what's happening outside of ourselves, so that basically your stage of eustress is just that much longer, that much wider. You can manage a greater challenge or a challenge that goes on for longer. Your coping capacity is bigger. We do this through what I love to call mental fitness. We are building the muscles of our mind to be able to cope with a stressor of 1 kg, first of all. Or perhaps we can manage 1 kg quite easily. We can manage one child saying to us, I can't find my library book. But as soon as the stressor gets to 3 kg, where the other child doesn't like the oats that you're feeding them, and you can't find your shoes, and you have to be there at 9 o'clock, we just collapse. Or we have a 5 kg stressor coming at us, where we then get asked a question by our boss, who just reminds you that actually, can you be there at 8:30 instead of 9, because he just wants to go through one last thing with you. And then you realize there's no milk in the fridge, and the stressor just causes you to completely lose contact with your prefrontal cortex and completely just feel unable to cope, overwhelmed, completely stressed out. So we're building the capacity to move from a 1 kg stressor to a 20 kg stressor, a 50 kg stressor, whatever stress your challenge is producing for you, whether it's the size of the stressor or the challenge or the length of time that goes on for. And how do we do that? We do that through the incredible tools of emotional self-regulation, being able to manage ourselves so that we are calm, we are in control, we are at ease. I love the idea of co-regulation, and co-regulation is when a mother, a calm mother who is at ease, holds a baby who has no capacity to self-regulate, and the calmness of that mother, the confidence of that mother supports this baby's regulation so that it moves out of the state of chaos and into a state of calm and rest and ease. And this is what we can do for ourselves. We find it hard, I think, in this day and age, because I don't think that we were necessarily co-regulated with, by nobody's fault, but that life is hard and hectic and busy, and mums and dads and caregivers are stressed out. And so imagine what we can do if we can self-regulate and then co-regulate with our children. And we just feel so much better. I'm sure you are aware of how much better you feel when you're operating out of confidence or joy or excitement. Your thinking is better. The way you engage with the world is better, and you have more control. So let's again look at how does that relate to time. When we look at the result being that you take back your time, what activity, what behavior do you need to do to take back your time? Perhaps you need to ask for help. Perhaps you do need to focus and do one thing at a time instead of multitasking and then dropping something or spilling something. Perhaps you need to be able to choose what you respond to and when, setting boundaries with your boss or with your children or with your partner. Perhaps you need to ensure that you go for a run on a Saturday morning. Whatever activities you need to do to take back your time, or again, any result that you're after. What do I need to do to make sure I lose weight? What do I need to do to make sure I have a brilliant relationship with my children? What do I need to do to make sure that my team functions in the best way that they can? So any result that we're after, we can use this process. So what do we need to think to be able to do these things? Perhaps we think, I am capable of handling this. I can manage this. It's okay to ask for help. One thing that I think that we as mums really struggle with. I am enough. This was something that I had to work through. I am enough. I don't need to be striving all the time, which meant that I was trying thousands of different things, unable to focus and never getting anywhere. I have time. And when we are thinking those things, we have an underpinning emotional state or feeling of confidence or calm or patience that feeds those thinking patterns that allow us to then choose how we behave in the way that is going to get us the result that we want. So what is the energy that is in motion that underpins then this feeling or this emotion? Perhaps it is that your shoulders are relaxed, or that you have a more coherent heart rate rather than that chaotic heart rate. There's ease in your chest. You don't feel the sweating palms, but you feel kind of a movement that is easy and slow. There's a different energy in motion to something like calm than there is to something like anxiety. And when we are experiencing that kind of physiology, we are feeling confident and calm, we're thinking in this way, we're behaving in the way that allows us to take back some time for ourselves, we can then step out and show up in the world in a way that we are full of energy, that we can now look after everybody that needs us, that we can do the things that need doing, that everybody else is calm and at ease. And there is just so much more peace in our environments.
So from here in this workshop, we moved into looking at how we can do that. And this is what I will help you with when you sign up for your Balance and Boundaries coaching session. How do we get ourselves from that chaotic heart rate, from the sweating palms, from the tight chest, from the whirling stomach of anxiety to the relaxed shoulders, the ease in your chest, the coherent heart rate? I will teach you all of the tools that you can use to get yourself into a place of calm and ease so that you can engage with the world, engage with your children, perform at work, be the mum that you want to be, and have some time for yourself. Just a reminder, it's bit.ly/B&B coaching. Use the coupon code TAKEBACKTIME to get 50% off until the end of day on Sunday, the 28th of April, and I'll see you for your session. I so hope that this episode has given you something to think about or something to help support you in this journey of working motherhood. If so, would you take 30 seconds to share it with another mum who may need some help in managing it all? I would also be thrilled if you would go to Apple Podcasts and leave a written review there. This way, I know that what I'm offering is making a difference, and this is what I long to do. I hope you have a great week, and I'll see you back here on Tuesday.